We have come to worship him. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
Please sit. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. We have come to worship him, to pay him homage. Friends, I'm not sure whether I could keep to this, but I'm wondering whether perhaps this will be my text for 2019. That in all things that happen in this year to come, in all the challenges and joys, in all the confusion and opportunities, it will be deep within my soul to have this desire. We have come to worship him. For I believe, and I encourage you to believe, that when we do this, everything else is put into the most glorious perspective. Never before have I been so conscious of the presence of worship throughout the Christmas story. You know, the angelic voices break into heavenly places and they're crying out in beautiful harmony, glory to God in the highest. You know those tired shepherds inspired by the angels trek to Bethlehem, and there, what do? They worship. You know that the wise men, maybe three, maybe more, journey across foreign lands so that they may kneel and worship. And of course, we remember the animals that evocatively kneel before the one who has made them all. And I like to imagine with unique animal voices, worship him. And all of our Christmas music, all our carols, enjoin and charge us to come and worship. Venite, adoremus, O come, let us adore him. So I'm tempted in front of you all to make this my resolution, above all resolutions, that this year I will worship the Lord as often as possible, whenever possible, and in as many ways as possible. A.W. Tozer was a remarkably blessed and powerful Bible teacher and preacher in the 20th century. But as his ministry grew, so he became ever more conscious of what he thought was the greatest lack of the church. Here is this evangelical preacher deciding that what the church lacked most was worship. And in one of his books, Worship, The Reason We Were Created, he writes, and it's somewhat provocatively, he writes this: I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not yet ready for heaven. Because, friends, that's what we're going to be doing all the time. Let's practice now. Matthew 2, verse 11. We have come to worship him. And I believe that as we move more deeply and constantly and intentionally into worship, so we begin to experience in our lives and in our spiritual beings a new alertness and sensitivity. There's an awareness that grows within our souls. We learn in an amazingly new way what is significant in and around our lives. We accept the reality of the world in which we live, and we deepen our understanding of God's nature and God's relation to us. Worship and significance. Isaiah 60, Psalm 72, Matthew 2, tell us of that arduous and long journey embarked upon by the wise men. Some have reckoned it to be 400 miles, 2 to 3 weeks by camel, or a month on foot. At some point, these men, the hearts of these men were turned to worship. They received this desire to come and worship him. And so suddenly all that they had studied, all that they had known, took on this new significance, and it led them to the stable in Bethlehem. As you and I surrender afresh to worship this year, I promise that we will discover a new significance in everything that we do. Things that we have taken for granted and tended to overlook and ignore will become fresh and vibrant, all pointing us to opportunities to worship. Then worship and realism. Now, you and I know that the pleasant, sweet, nice story of the birth of Jesus is ravaged by the anger and jealousy of Herod, so beside himself with fury and rage that he orders a massacre of babies. It's all there in black and white, though we would rather put it aside. You see, the worship of the Magi does not blind them to the austere realities of this world. They do not become so heavenly minded as to be of so earthly use. And in their worship, they become so realistic that they know, let's return home by a different way. And friends, as you and I surrender to worship this year, we will not be shielded from harm and horror and pain and grief, but our worship will make us strong, and it will put all that happens to us into the context of the God who is King and Lord of all. And worship and divine understanding. As the erudite, learned, and somewhat magical friends set out on their journey, I have this sense that they have little idea of the one to whom they would be offering their worship. So I suspect that their packing was done in a fairly comprehensive, inclusive sense. Already, as we prepare for our stay in England in February, Wendy is beginning to pack away possible gifts that we will give to our hosts. There'll be far too many of them, but she needs to have them as comprehensive as possible to make the best choices possible. And I think the wise men were the same way. They had no idea of the one to whom they were coming to worship. So let's throw everything in and see what's appropriate when we get there. I hope that what happened is this. In that existential moment of connection with the baby, they thought and they felt, we need to offer these rather bizarre gifts at a stable crib of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You see, their worship opened their eyes to the fact that this child was king, this child was priest, this child was Savior. And friends, as you and I surrender to worship this year, I promise you that we will gain a deeper understanding of the one we worship and an understanding of how close he wishes to be the connection between us and God. I promise that our worship will lead us to the sure knowledge that we are children of the King, we are prayed for by the priest, and we are rescued by the Savior. Yesterday was the memorial service for Beth Graham, a loving and gracious light in this Trinity community. An unusual passage was chosen for the second reading, at least it seemed to me unusual. A passage from Revelation chapter 4, in which John the Divine attempts to describe all the incredible worship that will take place in heaven. And then as the passage was being read, I saw it. Beth had prepared herself for that worship in heaven by her constant and intentional worship here in this place of worship, Trinity Church. I want to be ready for heaven, not too soon. I want to be ready for heaven. Let's worship this year with a new intention, an alertness, an expectation, for God will bless us.